You're listening to Midday Report with me, Charlotte Cook. But it's now time for the rural news with Monique Steele. Tēnā koe. How are farmers feeling about Meat Co-op Alliance asking its shareholders to help raise capital?
Tēnā koe, Charlotte. Yes, well, they're disappointed because they're already struggling with poor prices and high input costs. Alliance is the country's only entirely farmer-owned red meat cooperative, and it's asking its shareholders to make cash contributions so it can remain farmer-owned without having to rely on debt funding. It's holding back an extra $3 from every livestock unit processed at its seven plants, and farmers will also have to increase the number of shares they have with the company. It's the first time in 32 years that Alliance has asked farmers for capital, but shareholder, sheep and beef farmer Greg Anderson of Fairley says the timing of Friday's announcement couldn't be worse.
Disappointing because, I mean, it's come at a really tough time for farmers, especially the sheep and beef industry, because we've got low product prices and high interest rates and high inputs at the moment, so it's a terrible time for it to come. Unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do about it. They've had a bad year, which has put their equity in a bad position, and the banks are obviously putting pressure on them as far as their working capital, and there's only so many ways you can raise finance, and one of the ways is to go to your shareholders.
Greg Anderson says he believes it's best for the whole industry if Alliance remains backed by its farmers, and he'll stay with the co-op because he believes in the model.
If the farmers aren't prepared to back it and they let it tip over, well, it'll end up in private hands or end up in offshore hands, and they don't owe us any favours, you know. So I'm a great believer in the cooperative system, and I hope we can work our way through this.
Greg Anderson says leadership will have to work hard to get back people's trust, as many were taken aback with the unexpected announcement. Trade Minister Todd McClay has just left for Saudi Arabia to further talks towards a free trade deal. He's meeting with counterparts from Saudi Arabia and the Gulf Cooperation Council in Riyadh. Mr. McClay says New Zealand's exports to the Gulf region were worth $2.5 billion last year, and an FTA would be significant. He's also going to Dubai to further discussions on a comprehensive economic partnership agreement with the United Arab Emirates before heading to Paris to meet with other trade officials. He returns on May the 8th. Farmer workers' annual salaries have, on average, jumped nearly $7,500 over the past 2 years. A new Federated Farmers and Rabobank salaries report shows across all farming types, the average salary is now $71,500. It's about similar to a primary teacher's pay. Between 2022 and 2024, dairy worker salaries rose 11%, sheep and beef were up 17%, and arable rose 14%. These figures exclude other benefits that farmers may receive, like meat, firewood, phone or power allowances. Federated Farmers Employment Spokesperson Richard McIntyre told Susan Murray some more senior role salaries have jumped about 20% to $74,000 and $100,000.
You know, even with tight times, farmers are prepared to pay good money for good people. They see the value that it brings to their business in terms of improved farm performance and also reduced costs through the likes of reduced breakages, etc.
To what extent has this been pushed on them as well, because we've got more overseas workers coming in through the accredited employer work visa? Wage rates have to be at a certain level.
Look, there's an aspect of that, but it's not the role in its entirety. There are a lot of sectors that don't have huge numbers of migrant staff on the accredited employer work visa, and certainly very few come in at a highly skilled level as well. And those are the categories that are actually that have seen the highest wage growth.
Richard McIntyre says farm salary increases have kept pace with or been greater than New Zealand's average wage growth across all sectors over the past 2 years. The Port of Tauranga says larger exports of logs and kiwi fruit means general export volumes are slightly up on last year. A spokesperson says the kiwi fruit season is building and Zespri is expecting to export significantly increased volumes in total this year. The port has also had large volumes of additional logs through the port. That's due to the early harvesting of trees damaged in Cyclone Gabriel last year, but numbers are starting to taper off now. Meanwhile, dairy exports year to date are in line with expectations, consistent with the same time last year. To other news, a biennial survey by Manaaki Whenua Landcare Research shows that farmers, foresters and growers all lack confidence in policy makers. The survey of more than 5,000 farmers, growers and foresters was conducted in winter last year. Susan Murray has more.
Regulations relating to climate change and the environment are the greatest source of stress for farmers and foresters, whereas for horticulturalists, their stress was around employment and labour regulations. 6 out of 10 respondents lacked confidence in those making regulations and struggled with ones that didn't make sense to them. Farmers, foresters and growers all agreed that these were the most problematic part of the regulatory environment. Generally, arable and livestock farmers felt the most negative about regulations, and horticulturalists and foresters were generally positive or neutral.
The Chief Executive of Beef and Lamb New Zealand and the New Zealand Meat Board, Sam McIver, is taking over as Chief Executive of Osprey, the organisation which oversees animal disease management and traceability nationwide. Osprey also runs the Mycoplasma bovis response. Sam McIver will take up the role in August. A Canterbury creek that dried up in summer, causing fish and eels to die, is under the spotlight again. In March, farmers and locals were pleading with Environment Canterbury to let them add water to Green Street Creek off the Ashburton River because aquatic life was dying there. They were only allowed to divert water once ECAN used emergency powers to let them. The local democracy reporting services says farmers, a local water enhancement group and others have been presenting the regional council with possible solutions to keep those flows up during dry periods. LDR's reporting that ECAN zone manager Jennifer Rockford wants the issue resolved, but she says the council doesn't want to rush into engineering solutions based on just a dry summer. And that's the rural news for today. Ko ia rā, te porongo o te taiwhenua.